Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show improve. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
White woman with hair. Niggas don't take precedence over that. Period. See that got way out of hand, and see, of course, this is all Monday morning quarterbacking I'm doing here, but see, a person has to be conscious. These are life-changing things. People have to be aware of that. Things come out of nowhere. You have to be on your toes all the time, and you got to always come up with the what-ifs in just a few minutes, and you can't look at it like you got anybody on your side. Everything has got to be almost, you know, hey, open and shut. Now, when the ladies start tossing her hair back there, that's got to be thought of immediately. Uh-oh, here we go. Here's a life-changing incident. Everybody involved in here now is going to be, they're going to be dogged with this incident the rest of their lives. That's the way to look at it.
White
woman tossing her hair on some black people and whatnot in a restaurant full of white people and all like that. You think you're going to get the best of that story? Not at all. That's the way you're supposed to be thinking. This is a war situation here, and we are surrounded by enemies. With reinforcements coming. Now, if you're not prepared to kill everybody who's an aggressor, you don't show no signs of aggression. You surrender in that situation. Have to.
When you say surrender, what do you mean?
You don't make no protest. I wouldn't. That white woman tossing her hair over there, I would go and ask for another booth or something if I couldn't sell it with her. If I asked her not to do that, she says she's not going to do it. Kiss her, whatever. I would just go and say, well, I need another booth because we're having a problem over here. Okay. And if they don't want to give me another booth and all like that, well then, hey, maybe this ain't the place I should be no way. That's just the way it is. Your antenna has got to be up that, you know, this race thing doesn't go away. It dominates everything. That's got to be in your mind all the time. Now, that's a terrible way to have to be in the world, but that's what I talk about. That's the world that we're in. You know, and when everything is relatively quiet and whatnot, people call in the programs and all like that and say, you know, well, you know, hey, he's old school and whatnot, and he's making it all up. It ain't got nothing to do with what's happening now. My experience has been this, and my experience has been that, and that's when you drop your guard. And that's when you lose your job, and 5 years later, you are in the lockup on account of your financial situation has gone completely to pot for the rest of your life. That's how they do it. It ain't by magic. It's all by plan. And that white woman would say, yeah, I just toss my hair on them niggas, you know. Hey, white woman white with hair. Woman with hair, you know? Niggas don't take precedence over that. Period. You got to learn the hard way. They did.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Tuesday, May 1st, 2018. So I have been told. We should be here tomorrow, Wednesday, May 2nd. Anna Brown Griswold. This is actually, if you listen to the cows in sequence, should be part one, part two. Today you'll get part one, tomorrow part two with Miss Anna Brown Griswold, suspected racist. She is the white woman who facilitated the workshop, six-week workshop, no less. It was once per week for 6 weeks. At the yoga studio that I'm going to be talking about this evening, the deepening series about white supremacy, and they use the word white supremacy. I was told that this was a series specifically for white people. They looked at lynching photographs and did meditation, and you'll hear more details about it tomorrow, but that should be tomorrow, so that'll be part two to this program, very much linked, in my opinion. In fact, the program tomorrow was supposed to have happened 2 weeks ago, but the incident that I'm going to tell you about today happened 2 weeks ago and disrupted everything, disrupted my rhythm for my yoga practice and just everything. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. So the program that was supposed to be 2 weeks ago will be tomorrow. Miss Anna Brown Griswold, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Looking forward to having her on the program. Always, always look forward to the chance to question suspected racists. That's it, the broadcast for today. I guess a few things before we get started. People had inquired about how to listen live. I know most of the folks who actually listen to the program listen to the archives. So if you want to listen live, you can always get our live schedule checking the Facebook page, facebook.com/RWSWJ, replace white supremacy with justice. If you check the Facebook page, you'll see the events posted. Generally, the events for programs when our next broadcast is going to be scheduled is up at least 24 hours in advance. And the compensatory program, that's at the same time every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Workplace Racism, every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. The Book Club, every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And then, as I just said, Ms. Anna Brown Griswold, she'll be here tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. But you can check the Facebook page. You can check Black Talk Radio Network to get updates about when programs are going to air. And then if you want to listen live, you can always listen at Black Talk Radio Network. You can go to the page for the context of white supremacy, the cows. You can listen at our page. You can also listen at TuneIn. I have tweeted our TuneIn page. I think you can just do a search for TuneIn, the way it sounds, T-U-N-E-I-N, TuneIn, and then look for the cows page, context of white supremacy. You can listen there. I tweeted that page as well. If you want to listen live, you can also call in via your phone, the number 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. always works if you want to listen in live via the phone line. But those are options. If you have any difficulties, let me know. Please share the broadcast. You can retweet, share it on Facebook or Instagram, whatever social media platforms you use. If you could share the cows, that would be great. If you think it would benefit other non-white people, victims of white supremacy, to hear the content, maybe help them get a better, more accurate understanding of what white supremacy racism is, how it works, what it means to be classified as white. That said, I think a couple weeks back, I told folks I've been having yoga stories for most of the year for people who've been listening to the broadcast for the past, or at least for 2018, if you've been listening consistently. I've had regular yoga stories, again, to kind of start out with. I was began doing the yoga after the flood. My residence flooded in December. I still have not moved back, but the folks at the Red Cross gave us literature, the flood victims. And in the literature, it talked about PTSD and being stressed as a result of the dislocation and everything, and that you should try to find activities to help you relieve your stress and deal with the anxiety. I chose yoga. Plus, the areas where they placed me in Seattle, there were yoga studios, are yoga studios on every corner. So instead of getting a fifth at the liquor store, I chose yoga as my method to de-stress from all of this. I think that is very important as we get into the terroristic episode that I dealt with at yoga class, to root all of this in why I'm taking yoga to begin with. Next, I also wanted to talk about the word practice. Oh, man. I've been talking about yoga, right, all year long, and I reference my yoga practice, right? I'll say, you know, what I'm doing in my practice. This week we're working on headstand or whatever. And a listener said, well, you know, why do you use the term practice? And I said, well, you know, in the context of yoga, it's something that you do regularly, or it's something that I do regularly, with the intention of getting better. Like, this is something that I, you know, am not great at. I am still learning and looking to improve and get better. So that's why I reference it as such, as my practice, and that's how I think of it. And even I'll read the first definition of the word practice: the actual application or use of an idea or method, as opposed to theories about such application or uses. Practice. That, I think, is important as well. It is very different to sit around and talk about your yoga practice or any other practice, your practice of white supremacy racism. The word practice, that being a word that I use so often, I definitely have an appreciation for. Let's make sure that we have a accurate, comprehensive understanding of the word, because the same way that I think of my yoga practice, this is something that I want to refine, I want to improve, I want to enhance, and this is not just Gus T sitting around talking. Gus T was on his mat this morning at 6:30 a.m., right? Like, practice, this is not just words, this is application. Man, racist woman, racist child, that's not just idle on this broadcast when I say they practice. I think Mr. Fuller chose that word deliberately. They practice white supremacy racism. It's not just idle chatter about dominating Negroes. They go about and apply their concepts, their ideas of white domination in all areas of people activity. They practice white supremacy racism with the intention of getting better. We were dominating the Negroes on Monday. By Friday, bang. And I mean, remember Edward Baptist, The Half Has Never Been Told, where he talked about how the white enslavers, they would swap secrets and techniques about torturing Negroes on the plantation. That's practice. They, racist man, racist woman, whites, they practice white supremacy racism. The other reason I wanted to make sure I brought up practice, I cannot believe I let this slide. In all of the chit chat about white yoga amidst a few comments here and there about white supremacy this year, Thomas in New York was saying that he is not very flexible and, you know, that yoga might not appeal to him on that basis for not being very flexible. I cannot believe I did not make the comment at the time. You do not do yoga because you are flexible. You become flexible as a result of practicing yoga. Gus T was not flexible or not super flexible prior to doing yoga, but I am substantially more flexible now. It's like anything else. I am sure Stephen Curry was not born dropping threes from half court. I am sure from the time that I've talked to him, Mr. Fuller was not born spewing counter-racist codification. You have to practice to evolve some practices. So even if you're not flexible, anybody can, and in my opinion, would benefit from yoga. I have benefited tremendously getting into, you know, the whole reason for why I've been practicing and talking about it and this incident of terrorism. If it had been all terrorism or had not been beneficial, I probably would not have been practicing for so long to have this incident of racism, white supremacy. And regardless of what activity you're doing, regardless of what it is, as long as the system of white supremacy, racism exists, racism is going to encroach on any and everything that we are doing until we solve this problem. So got to be prepared. That's why I played the audio clip that we started with, Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. 9 years of the cows. That was from years ago when some of our listeners, they were at a restaurant. They were sitting near some race soldiers, and it was a white woman. She kept tossing her hair on some of the non-white people victims that were sitting at the table adjacent to them. They had asked her, you know, could you please stop? And she, you know, continued to do so. And it erupted into a big violent confrontation. And the only person who was charged was one of the black people. And it ended up being, you know, all these court costs and thousands of dollars and, you know, just a real ugly situation. The broadcast, you can go back in the archives, 2012. White people can ruin your life in 10 minutes, because that's about how long the situation that I'm referencing from 2012, that's about how long it lasted at the restaurant. It all started white woman tossing her hair on non-white people. I think it's very important to keep that in mind, because these sort of incidents happen all the time, similar to, you know, my situation. These sorts of things happen all the time. They escalate. They can escalate so quickly and result in, you know, just life altering things can happen as a result of these decisions. I think it's so important, number one, just to be mindful that these sort of things can happen, and then to try to be as codified as possible in the situation. Everybody gets upset. I certainly was, you know, furious during my situation. That's normal. That's human to get angry. But you really, to the best of your ability, want to not allow your emotions to drive your decision making in these critical moments. You really want to the best of your ability, try to apply logic so that to the best of your ability, you can get the result that you want in that time frame and not be harmed. And again, in these types of situations, try to exit as quickly as you possibly can. I've heard Mr. Fuller say that before. I know some people say, well, oh, that sounds like, you know, you're advocating being a coward or a punk. You can term it however you want to. I've concluded in the system of racism, white supremacy, whites, although they are a minority on the planet, they have a network. They have ample backup in these types of situations. It's been my experience, if the enforcement officers have to be called to a situation, or other people begin to become involved, frequently, almost predictably, whites generally get the best of these types of situations. If it's some sort of conflict between a white person, non-white person, black person specifically, and it escalates, Frequently, I've seen where things work out where it just causes a lot of unnecessary problems for the black person or black people involved. If you can, try to exit those situations. If it even looks like it's going to head towards some sort of major confrontation, if you can get out, try to get out. I was trying to do that in this situation, but, you know, it was a lot of obstacles, including I was being harassed. That was obstacle number one, was racist woman in this case. That was obstacle number one that was prohibiting me from being able to exit, to just get out of this situation. Anyway, so I'm going to get in. I guess the last thing, or one thing I'll get in to kind of push the narrative along for the story. The story itself is kind of lengthy because it took place over the entire duration of a class and afterwards, so it is kind of lengthy. But just a little bit of context so that it makes more sense as I explain. And just so that it doesn't seem like Gus is putting himself in a dangerous position voluntarily on a regular basis by going to yoga class. The system of white supremacy is dangerous. You can just be at home in your bed and be shot and killed. Fred Hampton, Ayanna Stanley Jones, take your pick. Dr. Harry T. Moore, another one, really go all out and show some historical context. You could be at home in your bed and be killed in the system of racism, white supremacy. So there is no sanctuary. That being said, as I said, it has been super beneficial for me doing yoga over the year. And most of my time there has not, or actually none of my time there till this incident had been confrontation. Certainly nothing on the level of this. I have been telling you all about the incidences of racism, white supremacy as best I can over the past 4 months now. I think I've had lots of different little anecdotes and wearing my counter-racist T-shirt. Pause right there. Counter-racist T-shirts. I spoke about that on Saturday. If it had just been like 5 or 10 people, I would have responded to those 5 or 10 immediately. But since it was a substantial number of people who responded about the shirts, and this whole process that I was not excited about anyway, I said I will wait because there were still people writing about the shirts today, so I can do a massive group email that will have all of the instructions about the counter-racist T-shirts. Please respect me like I am a white person. We do have shirts left available. I will send the email. The price, again, is $25, and it'll have information about the sizes that we have remaining and the procedure if you want to purchase a shirt for $25. I will send that email within the next 48 hours, give folks more of an opportunity to respond, untiljustice@gmail.com. Back to the story. So, yeah, I've been, you know, telling folks about different instances that have happened. I've been wearing my counter-racist T-shirt to every class and talking about that. I think most recently I talked about the guy Mark, suspected racist white man who came up and said that he saw my shirt, and he's an attorney. He's been this black guy, worked for 36 years, beautiful voice. He's a conductor on the railroad, and they won't promote him. I've been telling you all about the different instances. When the tubby white woman said that we all had privilege in her class, I've been telling you all about the instances. That's, you know, been the bulk of the types of racism that I've recognized and experienced since I've been attending, right? It hasn't been anything major until this instance. And of late, I've just been doing my thing, enjoying going to class. I've said before, I have been able to see a lot of non-white instructors. When I went to class this morning, 6:30 a.m., non-white instructor, regular thing. I've been seeing non-white instructors a lot this year and just been able to really do my practice. Lost 50 pounds. I said that, you know, over the past weekend, I feel tremendous. I think anybody, if you were 50 pounds overweight and able to lose 50 pounds, I think you would feel a lot better, even in spite of the flood. So I feel a lot better and just being active and really been practicing every day. It's been wonderful. It's been very, very good for Gus T and the vegan. Make sure, since I don't have any cool stories about eating vegetables, to just emphasize that I don't think I would have lost 50 pounds in 4 months if it were not the yoga and being vegan, letting go of all of the meat and just toxic foods and eating more fresh fruits, vegetables, vegan diet. It's been very good. I was vegan before. Going back to that has been super helpful in this whole process. Anyway, with the yoga, I've been enjoying my practice of late. In fact, I can give you the 7 days leading up to this incident, loving my yoga practice. I went to class 1 week before this incident of white terrorism. I went to this incident, and I'm giving these stories for context. This is what got disrupted with this incident. I went to class, black female, non-white instructor, and different black female and student was in the class, not totally surrounded by white people all the time in class. A black female that I had been flirting with previously, hadn't seen her in like 2 months. She comes to class late. That is important as we move forward in the story. I hate when people come to class late, even if it is a really pretty black female that I have been flirting with. I even hate it when she comes to class late. Like, I'm always in my mind cursing out people who come to yoga class late, because it demands frequently, not always, but it demands that you shift. And if you're already in, you know, doing the postures and what have you, and then have to get up and move, sometimes it requires a whole lot of people to get up and shift to accommodate and make room. They encourage you to show up on time. And at the studio that I'm at now, that I attended today, man, class starts at 6:30 a.m. 6:31, the door is locked. If you are late, tough nuggies, catch you next class. Love it. Show up on time. That's a big part of my counter-racist code. Nobody has an infinite amount of time and energy, non-white people. That's a big part of how I think we can go about countering racism, to be really, really to really value our time and energy, and not allow people to waste our time. Anyway, the pretty black female that I've been flirting with, she came late, and as a result, she had to get a spot that was very far in the front of the room, which is something that I do often to get away from other people in the class. I'm trying to get a spot to myself so I'm not around people. The downside of doing that is if you're way forward of the class, you at times can be even so far forward that you are ahead of the instructor, so that you can't really see them when they're, you know, giving instructions and what you're going to do in the class. For me, that was okay, because I had already, you know, taken this class before, so I didn't need to see the instructor. She came late, and so she had to get this spot. She's looking, her view for the class now is me, which rarely happens, where you would be in that position where you would just be facing another student for the whole class, but that's what happened on this day. We finished the class, and this black female, she comes up. I wanted to walk you home. We walk back to my house, stop, because it's a beautiful day, which hasn't even been happening in Seattle. Couldn't have scripted any better. Beautiful. The sun comes out. It's spring. We stroll from my residence and have ice cream in the park next to the fountain. And she says, "You were my view for the whole class. As I just said, it was so inspiring to watch you do yoga." And she hadn't seen me in 2 months. So this was like, I think, minus 20 pounds in the weight loss. So, I mean, could not have scripted anything any better. Like, the cute female that you want to talk to, or vice versa, whatever, to lose weight, look great. Then you can go hang out, sit in the park, and talked about racism and had vegan peach matcha ice cream in the park. What could be better? Continue. And the word inspired, she said inspired. I had been saying I was going to say something about that on the program, because I had been hearing the word inspired so many times this year, specifically in connection to yoga, and hearing it from so many different people. Just, you know, seeing, to be able to, hearing that someone lost 50 pounds and seeing that they lost 50 pounds is like dramatic thing. I talked to Emmy, was like, "Man, I should have taken pictures. This was not in the plans at all." But anyway, lots of people have said, "Oh, wow, that's so inspiring. You've done so much yoga. I'm inspired. I want to do more yoga." She said it. After a certain point, when things keep happening, I'd say about the third or fourth time, I normally take that as a pattern. Sometimes it doesn't take that many, but with this one, after about the third or fourth time that I heard it, I said, "I'll start paying attention to the word inspired." So she said it. 5 days later, should I get my days right? Yeah, 5 days later, we move forward to the weekend. I'm at yoga class. Early Sunday morning, they have more seniors attend class. I've had incidents of racism, white supremacy happen at this class as well. One of these classes that I talked about before, I requested core work, work on my abs, right? And this was one of the classes where a white man yelled out in class when we were doing the ab work about who are we supposed to thank for doing this work, like he's upset about having to do it. Anyway, we're at the Sunday class. The class ends, and an older suspected racist, when I say older, we'll say in the age range of 70. I could be off a little bit, but we'll say 70, maybe even older than that. So we'll say 75. So the class ends on Sunday. Volume of class, I think that's also a big part of the inspiration, and you'll better understand what happened here. I've been taking a lot of yoga classes. Like most people, they will take one class a day. For most of the past month, at least 4 days a week, I would take three classes a day. Most people don't do that. As I said, most people, they'll take one class. I would take three classes a day frequently during the week and then two classes a day a lot of the other days in the week. So they would see me doing this for weeks on end, just taking lots of classes, 17 classes a week. Just, I guess, to put in context, when we had Satya X on the program a month back, I think a number of folks heard that we were talking about white supremacy and racism. She had a lot of great information. I'm really hoping we can get her back on the program to talk about her yoga retreat for black females. But she said on that broadcast that she could do yoga about six times a week. That's about as much as her body would allow. I can do 17 a week. And these are like vinyasa, very vigorous classes where you're doing a lot of jumping, moving around, sweating, headstands, like lots of vigorous activity. And I say that not to brag, or it's nothing to brag about, really. It's just a victim of racism, and it's just doing yoga. You're just moving around. But I say that because I think the system of white supremacy can do a lot to damage us, to damage our health. I think Emmy most recently, she was talking about her academic triumph. She had a tough class early in the year, and she, you know, reevaluated her process and said, man, they really got me to a point where I had a lot of anxiety and was doubting myself, and I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to doubt myself. I'm going to be confident, study, go back. Bam, she took her exam and got an A. The system of white supremacy does that, I think, a lot to victims of white supremacy. It's way, I mean, any area where we have brilliance, black people I'm talking about, brilliance, talents, things that we have practiced and cultivated, maybe things that we got from the creator and were just, you know, had some natural skill or what have you. The system of white supremacy can totally work to annihilate your belief, confidence, strengths that you have. You can even forget that, oh, wow, I'm supposed to be, you know, a brilliant student. I'm a brilliant scientist. I'm a brilliant mathematician. You can totally forget that and be thinking, oh, man, that is what the system of white supremacy is designed to do. Same thing. You can totally forget. And I think particularly with the health thing, this environment is so saturated with toxic foods and just the toxicity of racism. That alone, Dr. Rasayan, I talked to him about, you know, all this as well. And he was just the stress of white supremacy. We talked about this and driving up your cortisol levels and pushing you to eat all these bad foods and just, you know, any source of comfort. And then it's not like they have healthy food options readily available. So you just go to McDonald's or whatever it is to eat potato chips and all the rest of it, which is just horrible for our bodies. Or we can totally forget that, oh, I'm supposed to be, you know, athletic. I'm supposed to be strong. I'm supposed to be, you know, universal man, universal woman. That's what we're striving for. You can totally forget that and just be a lot less than what we should be. Anyway, so I remember, oh, yes, I'm supposed to be athletic. I'm not supposed to be 50 pounds overweight, 17 classes a week. I'm at the Sunday class. I take class number one. All of the other students in the class are exiting. I am not. I am just moving my mat so that I can get a better spot for the second class that I'm going to take, which is starting in 15 minutes. this stands out, as I said, because most people don't do this. They do not take two classes in a day, much less two classes consecutively. So Race Soldier, 75-year-old white woman, she comes over and she says, oh, my goodness, are you taking the next class? Yes. Oh, wow, that's amazing. I don't even know what to say. Like, wow. She didn't say inspired. Oh, she said that's impressive, different I word. She said, that's so impressive. Wow, I'm kind of at the end now. I'm heading downhill. I'm not as good as I used to be, but I've been doing yoga for 20 years. I make a note because I talked about that before on the program where I said, wow, these whites, every class that I'm in where I find out how long they've been doing yoga, I've been practicing for 3 months. They've been practicing for longer than I've been alive, some of these people. Like, wow, like that. The system of white supremacy, it is designed for them not to be 50 pounds overweight. All of these resources are here for you, not to be universal man, but to practice white supremacy and be healthy while you do it. Anyway, so she says she's impressed, although I moved on. I go out. You have to sign in when you're going to take classes. So I go back out to the lobby to sign in. I put my please respect me like I am a white person T-shirt back on by now. So I go out to sign in. Different suspected racist white woman at the front desk. As I'm signing in, she says, oh, are you going to take another class? Yep, taking another class. She says, oh, my goodness, you are my hero. Definitely make a mental note on that one because I don't think I've ever in my life had a suspected racist tell me that I am their hero. I said, wow, I don't know if this means I'm doing something incorrect. I generally feel good about practicing yoga, but wow. She said, you're my hero. I am so inspired. I want to do more yoga. I said, there's that word again. Thank you kindly. I go back to my mat and just say, I'll make a mental note. I'll have to tell Cal's listeners. White woman said I was her hero. Anyway, you can put the cowbell in for yourself if you'd like for listeners. Anyway, we do the class. We get to the end. All of this has transpired within 5 minutes. White woman number one, white woman number two. We do the class. White woman number three, she comes up. Wow, you've made so much progress. Have you noticed? That's so impressive. There's that word again. We leave. End of day. Again, this is just context. This had been my typical yoga experience before the terrorism that happened Tuesday. So 2 days later, get ready to, and in fact, I can even give you the inspired word again. Tuesday, the day that this incident happened, the first class I took was at 6:30 a.m., and that should even be there for context in terms of the strength of Gus T's yoga practice. The day that I was terrorized, class number one was at 6:30 a.m. I was there. We were doing handstands at about 7:15. I was doing my handstand, which I've talked about on the program before. Yoga instructor comes by and says, I am so inspired. It's incredible you all are doing this. There's that word again. That's class number one. Class number two that I'm going to take starts at 9:30. It's not at the same studio that I generally attend. The studio where all of this happened, they have four different locations, which is not that unusual for the Seattle area. They have, as I said before, there are hardly any black people here, tons of white people. They have tons of yoga studios, and some of them are franchises. So they have multiple locations. Seattle's a big city, so, you know, different locations depending on where you are, if you work in one place, live in one place, or if you want to travel. So the studio that I normally attend is less than a mile from my temporary flood residence. I can walk there in 10 minutes. The location for class number two on this day is about a 10-minute drive. I'd say it's maybe 3 miles, which is not, you know, on the other side of the planet, but, you know, it's a little bit further. I don't go there as often. I would just go there twice a week. I'd been going there twice a week for about the past month because two of the instructors who taught, one of them non-white, two of the instructors that taught at the facility that's close to my residence also taught at this other location 1 day a week. And so I wanted to be consistent and have the same instructors. And plus, they both teach the faster, more dynamic yoga, which is what I've been taking. So I would just follow them over there for that 1 day a week. And this is super important, tragic element of the story that I'll go ahead and get in. this white man whose class I was taking, he uses the word context in his class all the time. Only instructor that I've ever heard who uses the word context in class. I don't know if he knows about my program or not. I generally say you should go ahead and assume that white people are not ignorant about racism, white supremacy, or anything related to. And I have talked about the cows with people at the yoga facility. I've talked about it with students, non-white people there all the time, openly at the studio, given my definition of racism, white supremacy, and the whole nine. Anyway, this suspected racist white man instructor, he uses the word context in class all the time. That's another one, at least for a cue for me that I might be in the correct place. Yes, I still suspect that he is a race soldier, but just doing the class. Anyway, I go over to the studio for the class, which starts at 9:30. I get there, we'll say 9:20. I get my spot. I generally get a spot at the front, or at this studio for this particular class, I generally get the same spot, the front row and the left corner of the front row. I'm generally in the same spot every time. And again, I try to pick strategic locations where I can minimize the number of people that I'm around. If you get a spot on the front row, obviously nobody can be in front of you, and I'm on the front row at the corner, so no one can be on my left either because I'm at the wall. Try to be codified in how I, you know, pick my locations. So we get ready to start the class, 9:30. This is not one of the yoga studios where they lock the door. The class starts at 9:30. They don't lock the door so that you're, you know, stuck outside. You can come in late and, you know, whatever. So we start class. About 5 minutes after class starts, race soldier comes in late. White woman comes in late to class. As I said before, I despise when anybody comes into class late. You know, they say that, you know, get here early, blah, 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 and all that stuff, whatever. She comes in late, but she doesn't just come in late. She comes in late and gets a spot behind me. I am immediately peeved because, as I said, I'm mad anyway. I would have been mad anyway because she was late. But then to get a spot behind me, like I had got perfect my spot. I had great distance. Nobody was around me. It's great. I was happy. I had a wall so I could do, you know, my inversions and stuff later in class. And it's like, what the hell? You're going to come in late and then encroach on my space? I took that as a deliberate act of racism, white supremacy, because there was other space in the class. If she had come on time, she could have easily got a different spot where she would have had ample room and not been all on top of me over on the side. No, she wanted come encroach, be in my area on the side, and just anything like that. I just, in my view, whites do not, they do not deserve the benefit of the doubt. That is not logical. Anytime where it is any sort of annoyance, any sort of encroachment on a non-white person, where it's not to their benefit, it should just be assumed these are deliberate acts of racism. Within about 5 minutes, I don't remember what Posey were doing. This is in the early part of class. Normally, the early part of class, you're kind of just kind of sitting down, doing basic stretching. Sometimes you just do breathing exercise. Sometimes you don't do anything. You just lie down and just, you know, sit, breathe. Anyway, we were on our back. I know we were going to do ab sit-ups or something, so we're on our back. And she kicks me in the head. I am flaming. You've come to class late, encroached on my space, and kicked me in the head. I'm furious. I turn around. Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. Totally disgruntled, like, I mean, this is supposed to be meditation, relaxing. Again, the reason Gus is in the yoga class to begin with, the flood, relax. I do not turn around and call her a dirty cracker or a heifer and curse her out. In fact, I can even pause. I can even give context in case any of the folks that are listening have taken a yoga class. There might be some who say, hey, in a yoga class, you frequently do bump other students. Absolutely. That happens all the time. You're in yoga classes. You're doing balance postures. Sometimes the classes are really crowded. People do stumble sometimes. I have stumbled at times. You absolutely, you brush into people. Your arm might bump into someone. I had a student who was next to me. It was a non-white student who fell off balance and bumped into me. That does happen all the time. Absolutely correct. It is totally, totally different when you come to class late, encroach on someone's space, and then kick them in the head. Now, that, and also in my opinion, is a little bit more bumping someone as opposed to a kick to the head, a little different. It wasn't, you know, punting a football. It wasn't, you know, a violent hit to the head, but a kick to the head no less. I don't think anybody wants to be kicked in the head in a yoga class or any other context. Anyway, I move forward. I am annoyed about having to move. Again, like I said, why am I having to move? I was here. You should have been here on time. Don't, I mean, isn't that the joke I've heard all my life about Negroes can't be on time, CP time, as they call it? You're going to be late and then practice racism and come and encroach on my space, and I got to move just to make sure that I'm not continually assaulted during class? Like, oh, my God, this is so tacky. And this is everybody who's like, why would I put up with that to begin with? I wouldn't want to be in that environment. I would rather just do yoga at home, or if there's an environment with exclusively non-white people. I get it. If I had had multiple experiences like this prior to when this incident occurred, I would have had the same opinion, and I probably wouldn't have been doing yoga in the studio all this time. Anyway, so I move forward to get away from this terrorist, white terrorist in class. Move forward, I move forward and to the right. So now we are no longer aligned. I'm not next to anybody. Again, I'm back to having space, although I'm still annoyed that I had to have my practice disrupted and be assaulted and, you know, just and her being late. So we continue. We move, like, we'll say 30 minutes forward into class. And, well, maybe about 45 minutes forward into class. Say, okay, we're going to do inversions, headstands, inversions, anything where you're going to be upside down. So headstands, whatever you're going to do there. You can move to the wall. For this class, it's generally like, hey, 3 minutes. If headstand is in your practice, you can go ahead and do it now. If you need help, if you need a spot, if you don't want to do it, you know, hang out, chill, do whatever you want to do. So I purposely get a spot next to the wall so that I can do headstand. You do it next to the wall when you're first starting out. That way, if you fall, you can use the wall to catch yourself so you don't tip over. Anyway, I go to do headstand. Ray Soldier, she comes back over. I just want to apologize. I just want to apologize. And I give her the hand, like, I'm done. I'm trying to do my practice. I have no interest in conversing. I don't even say all that, but I mean, I just put my hand up to let her know, mute. I rebuff her apology, which is a big one in the system of racism, white supremacy. I do think that that's something I might, you know, have minimized or what have you. If you are a black person, especially, I think, non-white person, period, if, you know, a white person assaults you, abuses you in any way, shape, or form, and they decide that they want to offer whatever sort of tacky apology, you are supposed to forgive. My bad. Oh, okay. Sure. Yes. Mm-hmm. You didn't mean, mm-hmm. Well, let's, you know, go ahead and hug and make up and all. That's what's supposed to happen. And I guess if you do not do that, I've written about this before, and they fussed at me on Jesse Lee Peterson's program. If you do not do this, I guess this is a big one where racists might, ooh, this nigger is not trying to accept my apology. Like, what is wrong with this nigger? Anyway, I rebuff her apology. I do my headstand perfectly. And in fact, I moved my mat back so that I was not on the wall. And I mention that because in my practice, it wasn't even that long ago. I think it was within the past 2 months that I was saying that I couldn't do headstands at all, too tubby. Now I can do them flawlessly. I don't even count them anymore because I do them all the time. She practiced racism against me, rebuffed her, and immediately went to do the headstand and did it without the wall, perfect, even was doing the leg spread while I was upside down. And I did pause to be like, wow, like that is kind of crazy to have her practicing racism and to not be, I guess when Ivy was talking about being angry, I was angry about being kicked and her being late and having to move to put those in correct order. I was upset about her being late, being kicked, and having to move. And then the tacky apology for, if you just want to add that on. Yes, I was upset about all of those things. However, I was still focused enough to execute perfect headstand. And I do think that that is kind of, unfortunately, the task of being a counter-racist at times. Not literally, but I mean, you know, that is what we're talking about in terms of being focused. It's not an emotional response. It's not, I'm going to get up and choke this heifer down and, you know, knock her upside the head with a yoga block. I mean, that's, whites know how to deal with that. They have enforcement officials in Seattle, and they have enforcement officials that are under federal monitor for abusing non-white people. They know how to deal with that. You might get in a few licks. And this class, I think I was the only black person. That not lost on me in any aspect of, you know, what occurred here. That, you know, I think it's probably about 30 people in the class. I'm pretty sure I was the only black person. There might have been one non-white, non-black female present, maybe, but I'm not even sure about that. But I don't think responding emotionally, I think you can be upset. I was upset, but I don't think us allowing our emotions to drive our responses, I don't think that's going to work. I think we're going to still have to find a way to be calm and to execute in a very precise, very strategic manner what we want to do, because things are so dangerous and the system of white supremacy has such extraordinary power to do damage against us in a very short amount of time. Anyway, I do my headstand, and I am even a little bummed because I didn't get to appreciate it. I think I would have had a lot more joy for the moment of, oh, wow, got it, no wall needed, perfect, boom. But, yeah, race soldier kind of ruined some of the zest of the moment. Anyway, I get down. We have another, it's an hour, 15-minute class, so, you know, you have another 20, 30 minutes. We get to the end of class, and I've been thinking, I want to say something to this heifer. We get to the end of class because, I mean, this is so annoying on so many levels. But I'm also thinking, I really just want to get out of here. Like, man, this, you know, class, great, but she ruined my enjoyment of it. And I'm taking a third class on this day. So I really want to get on, hydrate, move on with my Tuesday. Class ends. I get up. I'm going to get the mat cleaner in the rear of the facility. I go to get the solution, get a few paper towels. I bend over. I wipe my mat down. As I'm finishing wiping my mat down, this heifer has the audacity to say, oh, could I get the mat wash? And I'm in my mind just like, can you believe, like, the audacity? Like, man, if it was me, and I mean, just being truthful, if it were me, if I had come late to class, kicked someone after I came late, kicked them after I encroached on their space and saw that, oh, wow, they might be a little annoyed about this, seeming like they don't want to talk to me, you know what? I'm just going to go get the other mat wash. They have more than one. I'll wait. It's not even that big a deal. But no. Like, the gall, continued acts of white supremacy in my view. However, even though I wasn't prepared for that extra, I had by that point thought, I am going to say something to this heifer. And this gave me the opportunity to, like, bang, she made it easy. And my code with the mat cleaner after class, I want to get it out of my hands anyway so that I don't have to be the one to walk all the way back to take it. I'm looking to pass it to someone. Even though I really didn't want to give it to her, I said, I am going to give you this, and I am going to say something else to you. So I looked at her and I said, you know what? Perhaps you should arrive on time so that you don't disrupt other students. I'm thinking I'm being very civil. I didn't curse her out. I wasn't trying to be nasty. I wasn't trying to be rude, but I'm not going to take your apology, and I am going to give you a very civil rebuff on the same grounds that they fuss at a lot of Negros on a regular basis about being late. I was almost going to say CP time, but I thought that might be too much. I said I'm just going to make it a very mundane rebuff, but she'll get the message will be delivered. And immediately she looked, her whole face changed, like just in that moment. And this, if I had to make a guess, I'd say this white woman, she looked like she's probably 50, maybe. I could be incorrect, but she looked like she's about 50. She looked at me, and I mean that eye-to-eye look, like immediately, like the whole expression on her face changed, everything in that moment. And it was just like, did this nigga just sass me? And I looked back at her. I didn't say a word, but my eyes were communicating. Yes, this nigga just sassed you. And she's like, she stops, and she's like, oh, wait a minute. You don't understand my whole medical history. I have got Ebola and SARS and West Nile. And, I mean, she is going through all of these doctors. And, I mean, I'm just looking like, man, you are out of your mind if you think I'm going to sit here and listen to you moan and wail about why you were late for class. I get up, give her the hands, and go about my business. Also, important for yoga, right? So you are not dressed. You don't have your shoes on and all that. Like, I have shorts on for yoga, so I'm trying to get back to my pants. It's still cold here. Get my jacket and everything. It is a process. It's not like class is over. You can just leave. You have to roll your mat up and then get dressed and all that stuff. It takes normally about 10 minutes if I'm moving quickly to get all of that done so you can actually exit class. So I leave her the first time when she's trying to go into her excuse and all of the medical ailments that she has that, you know, I guess explain why she was late for class. So I leave. I'm going back to my mat. This heifer is now following me in the class like, oh, no, you are going to listen to me and explain. And I put my hand up. And by this point, I have at least got my pants back on, and I have my shirt on, counter-racist shirt, please respect me like I am a white person. I have my shirt back on. And she's following, and I want to make sure I add that for context as well. This is, as I said, a white woman. She looked like she had to be at least, she's got to be at least 50, could have been older, significantly older than I. She looked like she was at least a foot shorter than I am. I'm minus 50 now, so I'm at about 220. Looked like I probably outweighed her by at least 100 pounds, maybe more, in shape, what have you. Big, strapping, black male in shape. She did not look intimidated, like, oh, my God, he's going to kill me. No, it was, look here, nigga, you are going to listen to me. Do you think you are going to come in here to my yoga studio and ignore me? I am going to tell you right now why I was. And I said, you know what, at this point, I think you're practicing racism by just demanding that I'm going to listen to you. She said, oh, no, you are projecting. I do not accept that. I'm going to tell. And I said, man, I walked away. No one at this point, because she's not, like, yelling at this point, so no one has really noticed, and people are leaving. Like, you know, this hasn't been like a back and forth yelling match between class. I don't think anybody was aware that anything had happened between she and I during any of the process up to this point. So people are leaving, going about their business, but there's still about 25 people milling around in class. So I'm walking. I'm still trying to leave. I'm still what I said at the very beginning. When anything that looks like it could be heading towards a confrontation or conflict, because by this point, I am really angry. Like, after all of these violations, now you're stalking me and demanding that I listen to you? Like, oh, my gosh. and like I said, I can't just leave because I don't have my shoes on yet. And anyway, so I'm bending down. I'm trying to roll my yoga mat up and get the rest of my stuff together so that I can leave. And she's hovering over me right next to me talking. And at this point, I stand up and I'm like, you know what? This has gotten to the point where I'm really upset. Like, I'm going to have to put her in the headlock, or like, words are not stopping her. Like, this has got to stop. And in fact, I need help. to get this to stop. And I said, you know what? I'm going to speak as loudly as I can, and I'm just going to continue saying, stop talking to me. I'm just going to keep saying that over and over, and I'm going to say that as loud as I can. That way I'm talking, because she's still talking while all this is going. She's still talking, still talking, still talking. I'm going to talk as loud as I can, and I'm just going to continue to say, stop talking to me. And I put my hands up like when people do the shrug, like I don't know, like, and so I'm just now as loud, not yelling, and I have to make very important distinction. This is not yelling at her. If people know the difference, right, between just yelling at someone where you're, you know, kind of screeching and that sort of thing, as opposed to just speaking loudly. So I'm speaking loudly saying, stop talking to me. Do you not understand English? I say this about 8 times loudly. The entire room now is looking at us. After about the 6th or 7th time, the white instructor, suspected racist, he intervenes and intervenes to restrain the white woman, which in and of itself is kind of a surprise in any situation. I would say, even though I'm saying, stop talking to me, just a black person yelling at a white person and a bigger, a larger black person who's over 6 feet yelling at a white person or speaking loudly to a white person, white female at that, man, that situation can go bad in so many different ways. And again, because in this situation, people were not really aware of what happened. They didn't see, there was no buildup or anything. So they had no idea. It was just black person speaking loudly, black male speaking loudly all of a sudden in a room filled pretty much with white people, I think. White male instructor intervenes, and that's why I said, man, it just happened to be that for this class, this is an instructor where I've been taking his class for a long time, weeks, months maybe at this point, and about 2 to 3 times a week. Week. So he had been seeing me a lot, accustomed to seeing me, know me for being in his class. And so if it had been a different instructor, man, I have thought about this so much over the last 2 weeks. If it had been a different instructor, I have no idea how the situation would have evolved. I have unfortunately even thought if it had been a non-white instructor, how would this situation have evolved? Man, I have no idea. There's a black female instructor, natural hair and everything. I have taken her class for months, weekly, on a regular basis, sometimes multiple times a week, for months taking her class. If it had been she in that situation, I am not sure what would have happened. The non-white female instructor that I talked about before, insert the cowbell, white fiance, helped me do headstand, taking tons of her classes. We've walked home from class. We talked about the police. If she had been the instructor for that class and just turned around and saw black male talking loudly to a white woman, I am not sure how that situation would have evolved. It has pained me greatly thinking about that over the past couple of weeks that, wow, if it had been a non-white instructor, even some of the non-white instructors that I have enjoyed their classes, I could have easily ended up tasered, jail, anything. Even if it hadn't gone that far, I could totally see any of them turning around thinking that I did something, even though I just kept saying, stop talking to me. Do you not understand English? Anyway, white male instructor intervenes, restrains her, says, I'm not really sure what's happening, but we are going to need you to leave him alone. And so the white woman is still insisting. And even in the moment where I'm furious, everything that has happened, she is still insisting, like, no, I cannot believe that this nigger is not going to listen to me. That is not supposed to happen in a system of white supremacy. Like, that is my right, my authority. As a white woman, as a race soldier, this nigga is not supposed to be able to tell me that he could just, no, he's not going to listen to me.
I'm not going to listen to what you have to say and just walk off. Like, that's not supposed to happen on any plantation anywhere in the world. That's how I process. I don't know what else to say. I have never in a situation demanded that a total stranger at that, someone I've never seen before, I don't know this person's name, and someone that I have assaulted, no less, I've never been in a situation where I have demanded that they were going to listen to what I had to say, much less listen to excuses as to why I have mistreated them. Anyway, once the white man intervenes, restrains this white woman, he asks if I'm all right. I say I'm fine, which again, like, wow. Asks if I'm all right. I say I'm fine. I'm going to get my things to leave. As I bend over to pick my backpack up and get my jacket, I still don't have my shoes on. I bend over to get my things. I see, like, in my periphery, the white woman, instructor is, you know, with her. This heifer begins crying. Man, I lost it. Like, I turned around and was just like, are you serious? After all of this, you're going to cry. I said, man, you know what? I can cry too. Now, we had just done 75 minutes of yoga, so I mean, I'm limber and I'm super disgruntled at this point. I do not suggest this as codified behavior. I do not encourage anyone repeat. I do not think I would even repeat this under any other circumstances. And it was not planned. It was, everybody has a breaking point. She was late to class. Let's just to count the things that I had to get to this point. She was late to class. She encroached on my space. She kicked me in the head. She apologized. I attempted to offer her tacky apology, which I, you know, rebuffed. That's my right as a victim. Then she insisted on the apologies. She went to get the mat wash after all of this, then stalked me around the studio to demand that I listen to her reasons for being late and whatever else she wanted to say. That's at least a good 8 violations in my view before it got to this point. And then the weeping, sorry, 9. After all of that, after you have been the aggressor, the violator, the perpetrator, the criminal in all of this, to have the audacity to weep as though you are somehow have been violated or wrong. I lost it. I threw my bag on the ground. I turned around and said, are you going to cry after all of this? Are you serious? You are a disgrace. And in fact, I laid down on the floor and said, I can cry too. Let me cry about how you kicked me in the head and came to class late and pretended I put my hands up to my eyes so I could pretend to cry. The entire room stopped and looked like, I cannot believe this nigger is on the floor pretending to cry. I cannot believe he is mocking a weeping white woman. I will say that in the moment as this was happening, I said, wow, the white woman crying, all of the attention, of course, went there like, oh, my goodness, what's wrong? I can't believe that scary nigger was yelling. When I laid down on the floor to mock her crying and pretend to cry myself, all of the attention then shift back. Oh, my goodness, I've never seen such a thing. This nigger is on the floor. What is going on? And again, I think most of the people in class were just stunned. Like, what happened? I don't recall seeing anything. I don't even, how did this conflagration even break out? Anyway, I mock her crying. And even though I would not suggest that you do what I did in terms of lying down on the ground to mock a white woman or man crying, I do recommend that it is a bedrock, unflappable part of my code. I dare a white person to cry in my presence. That is something I attack aggressively, and I've been doing that for years. Every single time it has worked where either they have stopped crying or at minimum it stopped other non-white people from going to console them. Just calling that out. I generally just stop and give them the real short, you know, hey, if you need to compose yourself, you can go outside and do so. But if we're talking about white supremacy, racism, no, we cannot have a white person weeping. Non-white people have been conditioned for years to respond emotionally to the needs of whites. We black people have way, 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 way more to weep about than you. If you need to cry because of what you've heard today, that's fine. Just excuse yourself, get yourself together, and come back in the room. I generally give them some version of that. Sometimes it's more aggressive. Sometimes it's shorter. Sometimes it's longer. But I generally go after that very hard. I do not allow a white person to cry in my presence under any circumstances without that being checked immediately. Anyway, so after I got back up, after mocking her crying and saying a few more times that I thought it was a disgrace for her to cry after all of this, I went back up to pick up my things and to finally get my shoes on so that I could leave. The white man went to come check on me again after I had mocked her crying a little bit on the floor. She was still crying. I think some other people had come to hold her hand and get her some Kleenex or what have you. The white man who restrained all of this, again, he's staff, he was the instructor, came outside. I took the train to do this. Like I said, it's about, I don't know, 2 miles from my residence. I said, well, at least let me, you know, take you back home. I'm so sorry that that happened. I don't even know what happened. You can, you know, explain what took place. So I explain, as we're going to my residence, I explain what happened, and I immediately just start pivoting to policy questions. What's the policy on people coming late to class? And he says, oh, yeah, we do have a policy. We ask, you know, students to arrive 15 to 10 minutes before class so as not to cause a disruption and blah, blah, blah. I mean, we, you know, we don't turn people away, but we do try to discourage that. It is a disruption, as what happened today. Next policy question, are people allowed to stalk students? Like, once you've made it clear that you don't want to talk to someone, are they allowed to continue harassing you and demand that you talk to them in class? And he said, no. And I said, yeah, I think staff should intervene. Like, once you've made it clear, like, I think staff should have some responsibility. And one thing that I do encourage, if you are a non-white male, any situation where you are being mistreated, I would look at it and see if this is one where you can ask, so would you all have responded in the same way if I, a non-white male, had been doing this to a female, and in this case, a white woman? Would you all have responded the same way if I had demanded that a white woman, a white stranger, I don't know, I haven't met this person, I demand that she's going to listen to me. She's made it clear. She doesn't want to talk to me. She's going to have, you know, hear what I have to say. And I'm going to demand. Then I'm going to follow her around. So how do you think staff would have responded if that had been what had taken place in class? They said, oh, yeah, that's, man, I should have done more. I should have got there. Like, man, that is messed up. I should have done more. Immediately just go to policy questions with all of that. I got my ride home and still took my third yoga class of the day without incident. I took a spot in the corner where no one could be behind me, got my space reserved to myself. But just horrendous episode. And as I said before, these types of situations, it's so easy for them to go bad, in my view. If this had been an instructor that I don't know, Gus easily could have ended up in prison, jailed, beaten, whatever. And even, as I said, I think I was the only non-white person there. I could be wrong. It might have been another non-white student in class, maybe. But, I mean, even still, okay, two in a class of 20, 30 people, really, they could have just closed the door and said, hey, today you will get a lesson on what it means to be classified as white. They could have done that. Or they could have just called the enforcement officials or anything. Just as I said, these types of situations, they're so common. The best thing that I can recommend, number one, understanding that in advance and just trying to be very alert, as Mr. Fuller said, when it looks like things could be heading that way. I'm a big advocate of leaving. If this had been a situation where I was dressed, I would have gone. As soon as it got to the point where she was stalking, I would have exited. Like, oh, this is not going to be enjoyable. If I'm going to have to fend off a stalker racist or whatever the activity is, I'm good. I'm going to go ahead and exit. If I do not think that's going to be feasible, to just ask for staff. And that's one thing I would have done differently, reflecting in any future situations. And what I would encourage, immediately request staff. And I would use the language of, I need help from staff. I'm being harassed. Please help. I'm being harassed. And I would identify a staff person so that you can be requesting. assistance. I need assistance. I need help. I'm being harassed. I'm being stalked. And that was the language that I began employing immediately. Harassed, stalked, not, you know, she's wanted to apologize. No, because at this point I've made it clear I don't want to talk. It doesn't matter what you're trying to discuss, apology, excuses, how long you've had Ebola, all of that's irrelevant. At this point, you're harassing, you're stalking, you are practicing white terrorism. But that's one thing that I would have done. I would have said specifically, I'm being harassed and I need assistance to see if I could have speeded things along in getting her restrained. And I think I would have said victim as opposed to the crying situation. I would have had to somehow identify that she's not a victim, that you are a perpetrator, and that you're practicing racism. That's it. There's no crying. You're not a victim. You're just practicing racism. I would have probably said something to that effect, but I had endured quite a bit by the time that it got there. Anyway, after this incident, I did take another class back at the studio where I regularly attend, not this facility that's a little bit further out. I took one more class that day, and I took three additional classes the following day at my normal studio and then left that studio completely. Everything about that incident, in addition to the other smaller, tacky incidents of racism, this is the same studio, as I said, where they had the deepening series and the instructors would come in and talk about or at least use the phrase white supremacy. I had that multiple times. I talked about that before. If anything, it showed me any yoga studio or any group facility where they have whites and they're talking about racism, I would probably avoid those even more as being especially dangerous because I think those types of environments, they want to have non-white people really, really comfortable. As I said, when I took that tubby racist class and she was talking that she used the word white supremacy and then she said we all have privilege. We got to the end of class and she was going up to the non-white people there. Oh, let me give you a hug. Remember I said I'd put my shirt, or I didn't even have my shirt back on at this point. And she said, oh, I just want to give you a hug. And I told you, I just looked at her. I didn't even respond. Like, what? Anyway, where I just discontinued going to this studio altogether. There are way too many yoga studios to have to deal with any sort of terrorism, abuse. I never had any sort of incident like that happen ever at a yoga studio. You would have heard it. I would have been talking about it here if I had experienced such a thing. And even adding to that, when I went the following day, no one, not one staff person, came up to say, you know, we're so sorry that that happened. These racists, that's why we've been having these series out here to deal with this problem. And you can't even have a safe space in a yoga class. Didn't even have that happen. Like, now, there may have been a tacky email, maybe, but nothing. Like, nobody to do all of these classes, as I said before, to come and take 17 classes a week and to have been going to the studio for at least 2 months and seeing the same people and take all these classes. Perhaps every single staff person there wasn't aware, but I do not think that that is the case because eventually I asked a staff person, different staff person, the following day. I said, what is your policy about stalking students? Like if someone says, you know, that they don't want to talk and another student insists and is following them around, like you all don't have a protocol about all that. I mean, it's the age of Me Too. You got predators like Bill Cosby on the loose. And she says, no. That is not our policy, and I did hear about the situation that happened yesterday, and, you know, I'm so sorry. I know that, you know, you must be really tired of hearing that, which was not the case because not one person had come to me the entire day through three yoga classes and said, man, we're so sorry. That was such a tacky situation that happened yesterday. Not one. She says, yeah, I'm so sorry. I know you're tired of hearing people say that. And as soon as I heard about it, I just, oh, that's disgusting. I'm so sorry that that happened to you. And we called this white woman and reprimanded her and told her that that's not acceptable. You cannot be stalking people in class. I don't know if they did that or not, but that's what she said. And we're going to have new training. This, incidentally, was the very same week that Starbucks, headquarters is here in Seattle, that Starbucks announced that they were going to do the training later this month about racial bias in the workplace, very same week that they announced that they were going to have staff training. They said, yep, we're going to have new staff training to address that, if people are being harassed and how to intervene quickly and what we're supposed to do. And, yeah, I'm just so sorry that that happened. What I did, I paused that because the only reason that that happened was I initiated to ask about what is your policy for enforcing this. I paused and went back in my mind. I remember a class where a suspected racist, a white man, had a birthday, so-called. Nothing else. I didn't hear anything about this person was dying, having family problems, that their pet died, nothing. Just had a quote-unquote birthday. They brought in cupcakes, balloons, card, sung happy, but I don't even remember the last time we sang happy birthday to somebody. I mean, it was amazing. Even for comparison's sake, I was at a birthday party for a one-year-old this year, just a few weeks back. This white man got more balloons in the yoga class than the non-white one-year-old whose party I was at. That's how many balloons, that's how much of a big deal. They made more of a big deal for his birthday party than for me being terrorized by a race soldier where their staff failed so miserably that they have to institute new staff training, allegedly, so I was told. That's the comparison that I made in my mind. Like, this is the system of racism, white supremacy. Even at the yoga studio where they talk and have 6 weeks of deepening series on white supremacy and claim that they're about social justice and waste time in all the classes talking, or not all, but waste time in classes talking about white supremacy and all the privilege that we have, even here, the best you can expect is tacky, in my view. The best. Tacky, trashy, terroristic. And again, I cannot emphasize, man, if it had been a non-white instructor present or non-white staff, period, for that class, I am not sure if things or how things would have evolved. I am not sure at all. That's it. Anything else that I wanted to make sure? I think I can at least stop right there. If folks have any questions, in terms of, you know, how you would have dealt with the situation, if you have a similar situation, which probably lots of folks, because I think there are lots of, maybe not the kicking, but just having incidents where whites, they, some form of abuse or what have you, and it just escalates really quickly. I think that's, as I said, super common. Wouldn't surprise me if there are more, especially given the number of white drug addicts and all of that that's out. You got a lot of whites that are just angry and wanting to brawl and take out all their violent frustrations on non-white people. I would be mindful. And again, I am very much on avoid these types of confrontations because I've just seen too many situations where non-white people do not come out victorious. Way too many situations where whites, they just use these to cause lots and lots of trauma. If I could have exited quicker, if I could have got my shoes on and such, I would have to get out of that situation pronto. Anyway, if folks have any comments, questions, the number is 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I will check the line again. The part two to this is tomorrow Anna Brown Griswold, the white woman who did the deepening series at this very studio on white supremacy. She should be here. She does know about this incident. As I said, this is what postponed the broadcast. We were supposed to do this program 2 weeks ago, but she should be here tomorrow. And I am interested to hear her thoughts. Some of these, even though this was not at the same exact location where she did her workshop, to hear some of these whites went through your workshop and this was their response to this sort of situation and their response to racism, white supremacy. Like what I heard was whites who took her class and they came out talking about how whites are harmed by white supremacy racism, which is not revolutionary, is not new, thrilling at all. In fact, that's just going back to the white woman who was crying after she violated me, where somehow they end up coming back as being the ones who are harmed, victimized, where consistently they are not identified as perpetrators. I'm not interested. I don't hear anybody talking about how Bill Cosby has been harmed by this verdict, or how Bill Cosby was harmed by his acts of sexual misconduct. I don't hear anyone talking about him in that context. I don't hear anybody talk about R. Kelly in that context, how R. Kelly is somehow a victim of harm because of his alleged sexual abuse. I don't hear that. It's only the crime of white supremacy racism where the perpetrators get discussed as somehow being harmed by their own criminal deeds. Insanity. It is not logic. Anyway, checking the phone line, see if folks have any comments they would like to get in. Thomas in New York, did you have comments you wanted to get in?
A few, yes, sir. Good evening, Gus. Sorry to hear about this, but to be expected. Good luck, court and the female. Hopefully that works out. I looked up Inspired. I went to the 1828 American Dictionary, the first made on this continent, the first made for the American version of the English language. Inspired, particle passive, breathe in, inhale, infuse. One, informed or directed by the Holy Spirit. So today we use that word totally wrong, opposed to his original use. It has something to do with religion, obviously. Now, Hollywood has spent countless millions, if not billions, over the last decade to convince these little tiny, small, 5'3", 103-pound white women that they could save the world and be superheroes, and obviously it's gotten to their head. So I see it all the time. I was confronted by a white woman, won't get into the story, but it was just in passing, and it was something that you would say, look at me and look at her. Why would she even think? But I learned something new. I didn't know y'all had trains in Seattle. I had to look them up, and those are not trains. Those are, we call those light rails, but the stations are clean. I was looking at it. I was like, man, compared to our stations, boy, you can eat off the floor there. I thought it was hilarious, except for kicking you, crying in Seattle, crying white female in a predominantly white city. That could have turned gruesome. Mocking her crying, that's something else I learned new. I think that's a great idea. It will work outside a workplace environment. You don't want to do that there. But in the streets, you know, when you get that random crying or in a class or something like this, definitely. Part of the story remind me of your clip, the ending part, the clip you play on the Saturday where they say four or more race, more lip service, you know, so they're going to have a do what Starbucks is going to do, a bunch of lip service to train the employees on how to deflect. I don't think that they're going to do that. Black people will have defended her, unfortunately, under a system of white racism. Black people have been trained to jump to the defense of white women. In my opinion, what I would have done differently is I definitely wouldn't have been giving her nothing. I would have told her no to the washing thing, whatever you were talking about, and I would have promptly walked it as far away where I had to put it at, get away from her. and I would have ignored her. And I usually have my headphones, and I put those on. I wouldn't even let her entertain the point that I was even paying her a bit of attention. And that was the only thing I would have done differently. But you did a great job, in my opinion, Gus.
Glad I survived it. I like walking the mat wash as far away from her as possible, either giving it to somebody on the other side of the room or just walk. I like that as well. But just glad I survived. Let's see. The caller at 15, or excuse me, Red Nevada. Red Nevada, do you have comments here? You should be with us.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I also thought it was I thought it was something else. But I was definitely surprised about your response. But, I mean, I definitely understand. It seems like I've also encountered that type of thing. It seems like older white women, they definitely practice racism differently. I know, like, with me, I've been told sometimes I have, like, this face that I guess they call it, like, a resting bee face. But it doesn't stop white women from feeling like they can ask you something or kind of like impose on their time. So I just thought that maybe that was, you know, just their collective way feeling like, you know, like you said, you know, they can constantly tell you about something that they don't care about. But the one thing that I am kind of questioning, because I feel like I am not maybe being as best of a counter-racist or practicing counter-racism as best as possible. Like, I know, like, not every time you can have, like, your headphones in. I was eating one time with my family in, like, this really, really white city in, like, southern Nevada, even more south than Vegas. And, you know, white women come up to me, oh, where did you get, I had, like, my head wrap on. Where did you get your head wrap? And then, you know, well, what are you eating when we're at the table? So it seems like these older white women are really, I guess they feel like, you know, we are, you know, these niggers, that we're here to serve them. So I'm just kind of like not really knowing how to, you know, combat that, especially when, you know, I'm around my family members who just, I guess, think that I'm radical or something like that. But no, I definitely feel like, I mean, I can completely understand how the reason why you reacted that way. I mean, you can only take but so much. I mean, they're already practicing racism basically without, you know, saying too much, and then to keep compiling on that. But I'll mute my line there. Thank you.
For sure. Appreciate that, Red. Let's see. Caller 4362. Did you have commentary, question? You should be with us. Caller, last four digits, 4362. Did you have commentary, or are you just listening? Caller at 4362.
My apologies. I have the mute button on. Good evening to everyone. Gus, sorry you had to go through that. Definitely can understand your that trauma that you felt from that. It kind of reminded me of a thing that I went through. I don't think I ever mentioned it on workplace racism, but this was when I was still in the military, and I was out in the field. We were just training. We had rifles. Everyone had M16s. We didn't have any rounds because we weren't at the shooting range, but we were out there. I think we were actually on a break, or we were just transitioning from one exercise to another. And there was a pudgy white female that was in my platoon. She could never do things right. We used to practice formation, certain formations, drill movements and stuff, marching, just certain things. And she was a little overweight, so everything that we did, she was always messing it up. She could never get it right or whatever. But anyway, so one time we're in the field, I'm sitting on the ground. I have my rifle, and I think I'm conversing with another person. She has her rifle, too. She's standing up near me, close to me. What I should have done is kind of created some more space, but Anyway, she turns abruptly, and the butt of her rifle hits me in the head, hits me in the back of the head. Pretty hard. Not hard enough to draw blood or, you know, concuss me or anything, but it was hard. And, you know, so I grabbed my head, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm hurting. And she says, she waits for a minute, she says, oh, I didn't mean to do that. And I'm like, you know, I'm just thinking, like, you know, how about an apology? Not that I even wanted one, because I don't, you know, really I don't accept apologies from racists. But anyway, and she started, she kept saying that, I didn't mean to do it, I didn't mean to do it. And, you know, the other people in my platoon that were in the immediate area started to kind of turn to her and was looking at me as if I was doing something wrong. So, and it was a little, yeah, that was a racist incident that happened to me. But the other thing that I wanted to say was it doesn't, I guess, cease to amaze me that white women in particular and white men do the same thing, but white women, they are, I guess, they're masters at, I guess, understanding when they should be the victim or pretend to be the victim, or when they should, can kind of be the aggressor or whatever, or I'm this strong, brave woman. Just even walking in opposite directions. I'll be walking in one direction, I'll see a white woman walking in the opposite direction towards me. I'm much bigger than this woman, just physically, but I'm taking my space, and she'll encroach upon my space and naturally just expect me to move to the side. And for me, these little acts are not acts of people that are scared. They're not scared. Even when they say they're scared, like even these police officers and stuff, they're not scared, and they just want to practice racism. And I don't look at them as victims for the most part. But anyway, again, sorry that you had to go through that, and that's all I have to say for now. Thanks for letting me share.
For sure. Appreciate that. That same thing, like with your anecdote, if you are going to rebuff a white apology, just might be good to at least have a reminder that that can become a situation, can become a big problem, as you said, either with whites or non-whites, being around, like, what's going on? And that, I thought of that, too. I could totally see if it had been a non-white instructor being like, what do you mean you're upset just because she kicked you in the, oh, my gosh, like, that's such a little thing. Come on and give her a hug right now. I could totally, totally see that being the case in many different settings. And absolutely about white women and their aggression. I do not minimize. I don't even use that term microaggression. These are just acts of white aggression and racism. The person, Imhan DC, did you have a question, comment? Imhan DC, you should be with us, sir.
Yes, sir. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's unfortunate. That female kicking you in your head. That you know, that's what make me angry too. I recently had a situation just in the next state from me, like directly over the line of the next state. And I was walking at night because I walk at night. I walk all, you know, times a day. And so I was walking at night in the next state, visiting my brother. And I was walking to go visit my father, who was in a nursing facility because he had a stroke. You know, this is another stroke. Well, anyway, while I'm walking, I decided I'd walk with sandals because sometimes I walk in, you know, in my neighborhood with sandals, but not at night. But, you know, in this other state, for whatever reason, I walked with sandals. Anyway, while I was walking, this white male was in the middle of the street, and he was like, he just had his hands a little bit above his head, like he was moving around like he was drunk or something, but he wasn't drunk. I mean, I don't think he wasn't drunk at all. But he just kept making just, you know, just weird movements, and he was in the middle of the street. Like, why is he in the middle of the street? But anyway, I was walking in that path. I didn't really see him before I had already chosen that path to walk. Anyway, the guy starts to walk towards the car, towards where I am, and there's a car parked, you know, and it looked like, okay, this guy could get me in a, you know, a little tight situation, whether he was just, you know, sometimes they like to just get close to you and, you know, just to test you, but they're not going to do anything. But I didn't want him to get close to me, so I told him to get away from me. And so he got upset with me, and then he started saying something, and saying something to me. And then he said something about a nigger, and then he took off his shirt and started, like, you know, kind of jumping up and down, kind of getting his adrenaline going, and kept and then started calling me a nigger. And so I took out my telephone, and I pressed record, and then I just started moving away, trying to get away from him, and then he started following me. Well, it, actually, before I pressed record, he started following me because I was headed to, I wanted to go where I was going. You know, I don't really want to deal with these people. And so I was going where I was going. Anyway, he starts following me, so I push record. I take my phone out, press record, and I'm walking, you know, backwards and kind of sometimes he gave me chase, you know, just running after me a little bit. And then there was another white boy who came from around the corner. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, excuse me. But I was like, you know, uh-oh. You know, this might have been a little more planned than I thought, or at least, you know, one of them might have, I don't know how he just came around that corner. And anyway, but this, but the first one with his shirt off was still calling me a nigger. And then the one behind him said that I pulled the gun on the first one. I'm like, you know, I didn't have a gun. One, I didn't have a gun on me at the moment. And anyway, so him saying that I pulled the gun means that they have reason to kill me. If someone pulls a gun on you, then you can defend yourself. But he was not just saying that to me or to the next person. He was saying that to all the people who were, you know, the few people that were out, you know, but nobody would help. And so I was stopping cars and stuff, but they wouldn't help. I was telling them, hey, help me. Like really help me. These people are trying to attack me. And so they wouldn't help me or whatever. And so I just stopped a few cars, but I figured, okay, let me just, you know, just keep going. Let me make sure I get a good visual of who this person is who's, you know, attempting to pursue me. Yes, I could outrun them easily. Even with my sandals, I can still outmaneuver and outrun them. But, you know, I need to see who this person is who's pursuing me. He could, you know, chase me another time and I not know who it was. Anyway, to cut it short, we ended up at the end of one of these blocks, because I just kept going for a couple blocks, and then the neighbors they started helping the white guys, and they was like, the white guys was like, hey, yeah, he pulled the gun on us and blah blah blah, and they start calling the police, and they calling the police on me. I'm like, hey, I need the police, you know. And well, anyway, so I ended up calling the police, and you know, it ended up the white boys ran away, or guys, they or walked away. However, the police took a long time to answer the telephone. That was weird, but I don't think that was like planned or anything. It's just a long time. And anyway, so that was my situation, and I'm glad it didn't turn out worse. I think I could have been more codified. I could have, you know, not said anything to them, just moved forward. But I really didn't want that guy encroaching on my space, you know. So
yeah. Appreciate that. Oh, I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. Appreciate that, Imhan DC. I just, you know, bears repeating, I was thinking the Voltron effect as you were sharing the incident that happened with you. Mr. Fox over in the UK has been patiently waiting for Gus T to write out exactly what I mean when I say the Voltron effect. But I mean, that is something else to keep in mind, these moments, right? If a white person is practicing racism, white supremacy, and you have self-respect, black self-respect, to say, you know, hey, I'm gonna say something. I don't want this person encroaching on my space right now. I don't want this person, you know, mistreating me, whatever it is that they're doing. Just keep in mind, particularly if it's any sort of incident where the racist is instigating, they could have a whole plan, exactly as he said. It sounds like this could have been, you know, part of an elaborate scheme. And even if it wasn't, the Voltron effect, if something happens, if it's some sort of confrontation between you and a white person, if other white people see this, if they intervene, you should be thinking they're probably going to intervene on the behalf of the white person, regardless of what's going on or what's happening. And they can lie. They will practice racism, white supremacy. I've heard that with other situations. We had guests on the program in 2014, right after the McKinney incident, where the black girl, she was a teenager, she was abused, terrorized by that race soldier on the police department who threw her on the ground and all of that. People remember back in 2014. But right around the same time, there in the same area of McKinney, Texas, there was a black male. I think he was there with his friend, and his friend was in a tragic arrangement. He and this white woman got into some sort of verbal argument, and the person, they were at a different person's residence. This was neither of their house where they had this argument. The homeowner asked them to leave since they were having this argument there. As they left, the white woman, she gets upset, calls the police, and does the same thing. Calls the police and says, oh, they got a gun. They're waiting around talking about they're going to help. They hate cops. They're going to shoot cops. They didn't have a gun. She just called and lied. Cops came at gunpoint, threw them on the ground. That's like any sort of confrontation with a white person. I mean, it can get lethal in about 5 minutes. Like, you just have to keep that in mind. And you almost have to think about that even before you make a decision. I think you just said that. I was thinking the same thing, too. Maybe with all of this, maybe it would be better to not say anything at all. Maybe, you know, you move or leave as soon as the kick happens, or you move and just, you know, that's it. Maybe it would be better to not say anything. You just have to make a decision. Each individual victim of white supremacy, you just have to make your own decision. Is this your Rosa Parks moment? Is this the moment where you just say, hey, you know what, I'm going to say something, and whatever happens, happens. I just have to, you know, accept whatever that is, but I am going to say something. You have to think about all that, should think about that before, you know, launching into a conflict that could have major ramifications. Folks that dialed in, let's see, person that dialed in, last four digits, 1553, did you have a question, comment?
Hey, Gus, can you hear me clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is a victim from out of New Jersey. You know, unfortunately, I mean, I'm sorry you had to go through that. Had that terrible experience. I had an experience similar. It was in a gym setting. And this is how I handled it. So I was leaving out of the gym. This particular white woman, and this is in a mini mall. So, you know, you have different stores, supermarkets, Kmart, the gym. So as I'm approaching my car, this particular woman on the regular, she's outside feeding these three stray cats. So every time I leave the gym at night, she's there. There's a dump truck outside in the parking lot area. This isn't a residential area. This is you know, a lot with business. So she asked me, how long has this truck been here? Lady, I don't know. Wow, you mean to tell me you don't know? And I don't believe that, lady. I don't know. Well, how long have you been here? I mean, it's just impossible for me. She just went on and on and on, insisting that I give her information of how this dump truck got here. This isn't where she lives. She just randomly comes here, feeds the cats. I said, listen, lady, please leave me alone. I don't know. I get in my car. She's on the side of my car. So I just backed up, and I left. So when you told that story, it just reminded me of this lady. She just insisted with authority that I stop what I'm doing and explain to her what is this dump truck doing here, which isn't none of my business and isn't any of her business as well. So, and that was an example of some white terrorism. Another example was involving two white men. I'm in the New Jersey area. This is after Hurricane Sandy. I leave out of my house. My grandmother lives on the other side of town. I rush over there. You know, the electricity was out. Make sure she's okay. Made a left turn down a dead end block. So I made a left turn. I drove through. I'm trying to turn around. So I turn around. Two white gentlemen flag me down. One white guy jumps in front of my car. The other one's on the side of my car. Hey, why are you speeding so fast? You know, I wish I could have got that day back because I probably would have reacted totally different because I'm just in the process of thinking about getting to my grandmother. So I'm really not thinking that these guys have the audacity to stop me after a brutal hurricane and as if they were defending the block. What struck in my mind at the time was Hurricane Katrina. So after a tragedy, white people go into survival mode, walking dead, let's defend our property from the niggas. So I says, is there any reason why you guys are stopping me? Well, you're speeding down the street. Do you live around here? And I was just upset that I sat there and explained myself to them. So it frustrated me so much that I made a U-turn and I went through the block again, same speed, blew the horn, waved, kept going. Maybe that wasn't a codified response, or maybe I should have just kept going and ignored it. But it was just amazing to me that these two gentlemen didn't have the compassion to say, you know what, maybe he's lost. You know, we're cleaning up after the hurricane. No. In my mind, I'm thinking, they're thinking, let me see what this suspicious Negro is doing. He might be trying to break into our houses. You know, so I couldn't possibly make a left turn. I couldn't possibly know somebody on the block. This was their codified response to dealing with black men. With that being said, that's my experiences. That's how I handle
it. Appreciate that, New Jersey. I guess the only thing I would say, I think you did say it might not be the most codified. I certainly do not submit that my situation at the yoga studio was the most codified either. Just I think with all of these situations, that's why what I said after Imhan Dissi shared that in these sort of situations, it might be good to think sometimes now, you know, given the system of racism, white supremacy, and the possible ramifications, is it worth it to say something, to get this remark in? I think that is worth thinking about sometimes, certainly in that situation. And if it's a storm situation, like with that, like, oh, man, I guess my wording would be it's not that whites go into survival mode, per se, in those settings. It's that the record shows that racists will sometimes intensify their acts of terrorism against black people at these times where you could perhaps kill some people with impunity or any other crimes, because there was a lot of that during Hurricane Katrina and other what they call natural disasters, where it wasn't even that they thought a black person was a looter or what have you. There were black homeowners. There were instances where white terrorists knew this black person. Oh, yeah, this is my neighbor. I know he lives here, but it is killing nigger time, and he's still a nigger, homeowner or not. I know he's not a looter. I know he owns that property, but he's still a nigger, and I got a gun. So, you know, I would advise him to stay in his house while we're in nigger shooting mode. That's what happens. That's not just in my view, I think that's very different from survival mode. That's what happens. And thinking of that sort of thing, if that's what's happening, I definitely am not trying to make any sort of statement or what have you, I'm going to be trying to get out of here as safe as I can. But that is, unfortunately, the world that we are in, racism, white supremacy. The person who dialed in, retired firefighter, I think this is you. Did you have commentary? You should be with us.
Greetings, everyone. I kind of like tuned in late. What's the program about? It sounds like people are telling their war stories.
I had an incident of terrorism while I was at a yoga class with a white woman, and I was explaining what happened with the incident and just, you know, cautions when you have any sort of conflict. If it's in a public space with a white person, some of the hazards, the importance of remaining codified.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. I think I recently brought one up on the compensatory call-in when I was saying that I was at a popular park in the Miami Gardens area where black people get up early in the morning and attempt to stay fit or get into shape. So, you know, it's different levels. You know, people walk, people jog. There are athletes who are actually working on their craft, that sort of thing. Generally constructive environment. And 99.99% of the people that are in this atmosphere are non-white black people. And it's really, really constructive and positive. As far as they're concerned, you don't even hear anybody yelling loud, let alone talking about, you know, saying things, you know, anything negative. But anyway, so I'm out on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I go to the track and, you know, and walk, you know, real fast, you know, that sort of thing. And so I was, you know, in my routine, listening to Mr. Fuller on my earpieces. And which, you know, motivates me, you know, it keeps me going. And all of a sudden, this white person just walks up to me. The first thing came to my mind was, why me? I mean, it's literally about, it has to be somewhere around 100 black people, male and female, that's in this, it's like a, just imagine a stadium, a small stadium with a track and a artificial surface football field. And I'm scratching. I'm finished what I'm doing, and I'm scratching. And I just couldn't figure, what made this person come up to me? What is so special? Anyway, and it didn't turn out to be a white person on top of it, you know, interrupting me. And I wouldn't say I lost it. But I did go into just, you know, anger mode and turned and said, what the F you coming up to me for? Get the F out of my face, you know, and it broke the silence. No one actually reacted to me except for, you know, the person that I was talking to. And I'm hearing everybody saying, because you never know on how things can come out, especially when you are dealing with a white person. I don't care if it's a white person in an environment like I just mentioned, you know, where 99% of the people around are not white. It still is a risk in itself. And I've since been taking personal notations on what strategy I could have used better. If anything, if you don't have one, you know, really thought out and planned, you could just be silent. You could just be silent, actually, and keep your eye on the person, but yet at the same time appear to ignore, you know, them unless they, you know, they close the space between you and them, and you know, attempt something like touch you or something like that. you know, it's probably what I should have done until you can think of, you know, a counter-racist compensatory action, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, that's one I can think about. I'm trying to think of another one. I don't want to hold up the program right quick. But I always have situations where I go into stores, and it is a typified habit that white females have by addressing you as honey, sweetie, baby, you know, that sort of thing. And what I've thought up is a quick compensatory retort to that by asking them, can I make a statement or ask a question? Well, could you stop calling me a honey, sweetie, baby? I'm not your honey or sweetie or baby. I'm a customer at this place, and keep it business. Keep it in a business form, you know, that sort of thing, you know, and don't really care about the answer that comes out of it. But that's what comes to my mind right now as far as that concerned. I'm sorry I missed your report. I did recall that you were going to state it. Did the police arrive on your call, on your incident?
Thankfully, the enforcement officials were not called, thankfully.
Okay. Because, well, I'm sure you know on how that could have went.
Absolutely.
if that type of situation goes on, then you you are forced to go to some serious counter-racist compensatory action or inaction, you know, that sort of thing, when that takes place. But it's a serious situation. Yes, that's all I'd say for right now. Thank you.
Appreciate that, retired firefighter. Let's see. Ivy, did you have commentary? You should be with us.
Yes, sir. Greetings, Gus, and greetings to all the callers on the line. Gus, I wanted to tell you thank you for doing this program, because, you know, you didn't have to do this program. You didn't have to share. And like the other callers, I'm very sorry that you had to deal with this. I think about the training that they talked about. It's like, white people, that's just their way, from what I've observed at least, that's just their way of defending one another and playing the victim role. That, you know what, these cops out here murdering black people, you know, they just don't know. So we just need to train them. And, you know, she don't know that she don't need to be stalking people and coming up to them while they're on their head, you know, talking about she's sorry and kicking people in the head and showing up late and all this stuff. So we're gonna have some training to try to resolve this problem. And you get some so-called resolution that isn't one at all, and they know that. Just, you know, trying to do something that they know is not going to solve the problem. And it's tough because on the one hand, I wish she would have called the cops on her. You know, when she kicked you in the head, you know, on some, I was assaulted. At the same time, racist, they like to kill black men. So that's kind of a tough one. And I know you probably also didn't want to go through all that, because you probably just wanted to, you know, finish the class, and, you know, calling the cops and all that would have just disrupted everything. And I know you wasn't trying to do all that. Sometimes you just kind of want to get through your day and get your goals accomplished and what you're trying to do. And yoga is very important to you, and staying fit and things like that. But yeah, I think that's all I had to offer. And thanks, everyone. Thanks, Gus. I'll mute my line.
Indeed. We've talked about that, you know, on the program. Like, that's such a decision to make in many instances. Do you call the enforcement officers? And if you do, will that improve the situation, or will that make it worse? And man, that can be a tough one to ascertain. I know in some of the discussions that we've had, pending, and obviously pending on the situation, some situations, you know, might require more assistance than others. But I know some of our callers were saying before, like, they, you know, they would not call enforcement of officers under any circumstance. And a situation like this, if they decided, yes, I do want to go to the enforcement officers, you can get a civil anti-harassment order. It's like a restraining order to say, you know, this person can't be around you and whatever. You can go do that. Or if you want to go file a report, assault, whatever, you go to the police station as opposed to calling them to come out to see if that can help minimize, because I think there were a lot of situations where people were calling in. Obviously, they were coming out and making it worse. So, but that's system of white supremacy often gives you a lot of bad options. Many bad options, mostly. Do we have any other folks that we missed completely? Any other folks who had a question, comment? The number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you have a question, comment. Did we miss anybody?
Can I ask a question?
Let's hear it.
Did I hear that you were assaulted?
Kicked. I was kicked during a yoga class in the back of the head by a white woman. As I said, it wasn't. She wasn't doing like a Beckham kick to the head, but it was certainly annoyance, and I certainly processed it as an act of white supremacy racism. But it'll be. It's in the archive, or it will be.
Coach, can I say something else, please?
Yes, sir.
Yes. First, I just wanted to say, I spoke to MHDC earlier. He told me this story. And he didn't elaborate on this one part, but I thought it was important. And I'm going to do a counter-racist experiment with it so that hopefully I can tell people to prepare for this in the future. But as he was in the next state, he said when he dialed 911, what picked up was his local police, not the state he was in police. And I thought that was pretty amazing. I'm like, wow, with all this technology, he wouldn't just pick up. So next time I cross the border and take the 3-minute train ride to Jersey City, I'm going to get off and dial 911 and see if I get NYPD or the Jersey City police. And I'm going to do the same thing next time I go from the Bronx and cross the street and end up in Yonkers and see what happens.
Right on. Let us know the results of your study. I guess if any of the listeners follow, let us know. Experimenting, lots to learn. Experimenting, lots to learn.
May I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Red again. I actually, that's funny that Thomas from New York brought that up, because I'm in like Nevada now, but when I was in Ohio, and I have family in Ohio, I think it was like an older family member. They were trying to call 911 because of something that happened in Nevada. And, it might have been like vice versa. But no, if they go by like the state that your number is in. So if I have like a Nevada number and if I go back to Ohio, I'll still get like the Nevada law enforcement agency. So I just wanted to add that. So it was kind of like weird with where I first started out with that story. But it was like for somebody, if they're in Nevada with an Ohio number, you'll still get Ohio law enforcement and vice versa. Thank you for allowing me to add that, and I'll mute my line.
Appreciate that, Red. Right on. Did any other folks comment anything they needed to get in?
Any updates on you going home?
Not a one. They did. I think August was floated originally as a possibility, and we are at May. Maybe it'll be August. Who knows?
That's horrendous.
System of white supremacy. That word is used frequently, much more frequently than inspired.
Last thing, Gus. So, oh, sorry.
No problem. Yes, Gus. I just wanted to know. I know you shared some things, some of the codes that you practice while you're attending yoga. Is like you say, you stand in a certain area to kind of, and you try to create space between you and other people. Do you have, and as far as leaving soon afterwards or leaving as fast as you can, you have any other suggestions? I'm thinking about taking up some yoga, and I want to avoid conflict as much as possible as well.
I try to avoid the super crowded classes. Just like I said, I don't like people being in my space, and that sort of that incident that I described earlier, having this racist woman encroaching on my space and being kicked and everything. Like, I feel like one of the ways you can minimize that, at least for me, is to not be in the super crowded class. So I generally, a lot of the yoga classes, you can go online and you can see when their peak time is, and I just don't take classes at the peak time. I haven't really, like I said, well, I don't know if I did say, but I'll say it now if I didn't. Not having non-white instructors can be very helpful, but at least for me, many of the non-white instructors are extraordinarily white identified, meaning they do not see whites as racists, and they, are very much about supporting them and in my overvaluing them and allocating more time, attention, care to them than darker students in the class. So my suggestion would be, if you are new to yoga completely, like if you don't have a background and you're just starting out, I would try and pick, go online, see if you can find yoga studios that have like the instructors listed. That way you can see what they look like. If you feel more comfortable with black instructors, try to pick out studios that have black instructors, or at least non-white instructors. Most of the studios have that at least. Once you get there, in terms of minimizing conflict, you can ask for a private practice. You can tell them up front. If you're going like the first time, you can ask if they offer a private practice, just meaning that the instructor won't touch you or do anything. They'll just leave you alone for the class. So, even if you're taking a class with a suspected racist, you can just say, hey, I want a private practice. If they ask at the beginning, you can just put a hand up, boop, private practice. That'll cut that out. And then you can, position yourself in the class where you're not around other folks. For the most part, that should do it. I mean, it's not like, if it's the general yoga class that you're going to take, it's not like you're going to be talking. It's just like going to the gym. It's not like you're going to be talking to someone on the treadmill next to you or what have you. It's not interactive. You're just quietly doing the postures. So, I would just look, see if it's an instructor that you're comfortable with. If you take a class, if it's a white instructor, you can always get a private practice. If they do not allow private practice, that might be a red flag to avoid that studio. But you can always get a private practice. You can get, like I said, spots on the corners, front row, back row, close to the walls. They tend to be, you can minimize the number of people that you're next to. And ask if the person, next to you is too close, just ask them to move, because I have done that in a class. I've done that repeatedly. I've made an entire row shift repeatedly because people would just get too close, and I think everybody should have a reasonable amount of space. One thing that I started doing as well is they have props for a sizable number of classes, like a block or a bolster or whatever, even a water bottle. You'll have other stuff with you on the mat. I just began putting my bolster in between my mat and the person next to me, so that gives like a good extra 2 feet of space just to make sure that, nobody's encroaching on me too much. But that's, like I said, other than this incident, I didn't have any incidents. I would go to class, get my spot, no issues, no issues. I would just wear my shirt and observe what happened.
Thank you. Probably are. Excuse me.
I just wanted to say thank you, and I'll keep all that in mind. And I definitely want to say, lastly, for the retired firefighter, I definitely understand what you go through as far as, especially when you go through to these grocery stores, especially if they're considered health food stores or high-end grocery stores, and these white women and men, but especially women, and how they behave there. But that's all I have to say. Thanks.
I was going to ask you a question, Gus. Did you state on whether or not you were going to continue attending the that particular yoga program?
Already talked about that.
Short-wise, if you can say it in yes or no, you going to attend it again or not?
No. No.
Okay. All right. Good idea.
That's what I concluded.
Yeah. It really has to be something really important that I need to get from a white person, for me to, go into that atmosphere and spend a great deal of time. And then now I'm already in the mode of counter-racist logic in dealing directly with a white person. I'm prepared even before I even go into the atmosphere, whether it's inside or outside, you know, as far as that concerns. And with the expectations that anything can and may happen. But for the most part, I try to stay out of their physical presence.
Understandable. Absolutely. Thomas in New York, were you going to comment as well, sir? Might not be able to talk presently.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I interrupted you.
I was just going to give some time if Thomas was going to get his other comment in, but you can certainly go ahead with your commentary in between.
Okay. I was going to ask, because I don't remember if you said it, if you no longer go into this particular class anymore, is going to cut your classes down to two a day, or are you going to find another third class to go to per day?
I took three classes yesterday. I've already went to class today once, and I intend to go again. I could have taken three classes today. I've been back to doing heated yoga. And heated yoga, it doesn't burn any more calories, but I mean, when you're doing yoga at like 95 and 100 degrees, you sweat a lot more. It's not more difficult in terms of the work. It's the same work, the same postures, but just because it's so hot, it's more challenging to do three classes. You sweat a lot. You couldn't get dehydrated. That is a serious danger. You could get dehydrated and all that. So I'll probably do two classes today, but I did do three classes yesterday, just to make sure that one of them was not heated.
Can I ask one more question, or should I wait for Thomas in New York?
Let's hear it.
It's personal, and it's just kind of an advice type of question. You being, a counter-racist and who have studied racism for who knows, maybe even 15 years at this point if the program's been on 9, would you date and marry a woman who, I guess, has different views than you on racism, you in particular, given where you are in counter-racism at this point?
Well, I mean, it would probably depend on what you mean by different, or, you know, what are the nature of those differences? Because I don't know anybody that has, like, identical views to me on white supremacy racism. So I would, you know, just automatically take it that the person and I will not have, that we will have different views on some aspects of white supremacy racism. So it would depend on what those differences are.
Well, I don't mean identical, but I guess maybe the best way I can say it, I'll try to think of a better way to say it, but the best way I can say it now is maybe a more confused woman versus a less confused woman, given that you are a less confused man now.
I don't know. I mean, it would depend. We would have to see what is the nature of the confusion. I mean, am I going to have to say that I love the hate you give? I mean, that would be a tough sell. Like that would be a tough sell. Like, you know, what is the intensity of the confusion?
Well, I'll say this as it relates to counter-racism, what is your criteria in terms of, you know, the type of woman that you would be with in terms of counter-racism?
I don't have a criterion. I'm not actively pursuing and am in a part of the world where I don't really feel like there are tons of black females, although I do feel like I see more of them now, especially at the yoga studio. But, yeah, that's not really high on my priority list, so I don't have that list. And yeah, I would have to see the intensity of the confusion.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thomas in New York, are you back yet? Able to get your question or comment in, or are you still not able to speak? I guess he's not able to speak. Did any other folks have a comment they were going to get in? Question, comment?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
My question is, because I feel like I am starting to, you know, sometimes have trouble with the applying the right response to white people, because I'm trying not to be so angry and be so mad, because that's not going to help me be a better counter-racist. But then also, you know, not coming across as polite. And like I was saying before, it's like I don't feel like I have like an inviting face or a welcoming face to be asked questions. And so sometimes I am good at, like, you know, white women, of course, especially, you know, ask me, well, do you know when such and such is, you know, going to arrive? Have you seen the mailman? No. Or I'll say, I'm not sure, even if I do know the answer, and just, you know, continue to walk. But it just comes, sometimes it feels like they'll even try to touch you too. And I hate it when anyone tries to touch me, but it's kind of like how, just, you know, any suggestions on maybe what to do, especially like with older white women who feel like, you know, especially like with retired firefighter just said, you know, the honey and the baby and the stuff like that. And even I noticed with my supervisor, she likes to call, you know, her subordinates kids, her kids, and, you know, things like that. So just any suggestions that anybody had, I would appreciate it. Thank you. And I'll meet my line.
I know the work situation might be a little, people might respond a little different, or yeah, victims might respond a little differently in a work setting with the, like the latter example that you gave. If the supervisor is referring to you all as their kids, K-I-D-S, as opposed to if you're just out and about and someone is trying to touch you or make some sort of random inquiry. Am I making sure I'm understanding the question? Was it how to respond without sounding angry, or what was the nature of it?
Yes, I'm sorry. Basically, how to still be, I don't want to necessarily be rude, or maybe it is okay to be rude. That's what I'm just kind of having issues and just trying to maybe have suggestions on, like with instances I gave before, like, you know, white women, this white woman almost came up and touched me, and I kind of had to lean over because she was like trying to get my attention to see what I was eating. And, you know, just white women just commenting on what I'm wearing or something like that. Usually I can act like I'm ignoring them if I have my headphones in, but maybe just having the right response instead of, you know, sometimes I actually want to curse them out, but I don't, you know, don't want to have the, you know, law enforcement officials called on me. So maybe just suggestions on how to not be as helpful to white people in personal settings. I understand it's different for work. I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Got it. If it's personal, being thought of as rude or what have you wouldn't be as much of a concern in the personal setting. I mean, especially about space issues. Like, I think someone, like you said, the woman that was coming up, I mean, if that's a personal thing, if I'm just sitting down, I don't know if it's like at a restaurant or wherever, and I'm eating, and a random white person, like, oh my Lord, like, yeah, I wouldn't have any concern about being rude there at all. Like, that is outrageous, in my opinion. Like, I would just, you know, back up. I need, you know, give me 50 feet or whatever it is. I think in a personal setting, I would just be very exact, because, I mean, you just can't take any chances. I don't like people. I'm very, you know, protective about my personal space. I don't like random people coming up and, you know, just approaching me with familiarity. I especially hate that when people come up as the, like, we have met before, or they know me, and, you know, they can just be very close and talk to me. Like, I really am not with that at all. And yeah, like, I'm very protective about, hey, back up. And I don't have a concern about being thought of as rude about that at all, just because I think there's something incorrect about people violating that boundary where I don't even know you. White person, non-white person, you know, whatever it is, I don't have as much of a concern there. Yeah, I would just make it clear, you know, to back up or leave me alone. Or if it's just coming up and asking you, like you were saying, not being as helpful, if it's coming up to ask you questions and such, I would just ignore them. Like, that I'm all about conservation of energy too, because I feel like if it's some random person, and like with the situation retired firefighter talked about, where he had his headphones out, he's going to do some fitness, get his workout on, this suspected race soldier comes up and is talking about God knows what. Generally, I am about, you know, I could say whatever, or ask a question or whatever it is, or I could just ignore this person and keep my feet moving if I'm, you know, doing my workout, whatever, my stretch routine, and they'll get the message that, you know, I am not responding to them at all, and beat it. And I'm not even going to break stride. I'm just going to keep moving. Like, I generally try to stick to that as often as I can until it becomes, you know, I have to use words to deal with this person. But I'm very much about that. And that works for most situations. Even there, I think people could consider that rude too. If, you know, someone speaks to you or asks a question or is trying to talk to you and you ignore them, a lot of times they'll think that's rude. But nothing is more rude than the system of white supremacy, so I don't have that too high on my list. But again, I am a curmudgeon misanthrope. Did other folks have any comments to Red's query?
Can I make an attempt?
Let's hear it.
White people, I would think, logically speaking, can predict the response that a black person would have, especially one that would be negative to their advances. So I wouldn't worry so much about whether or not, you know, I do know there's a lot of people, especially the lady who brought up the question, that she takes a lot of seem to take a lot of pride in how she presents herself, just in general. A lot of us have that kind of quality about ourselves, but white people are not dumb. They have an understanding of what it means to be a white person, and they know if it is not correct. So I wouldn't worry about it so much. I'm not saying to, you know, just get in her face and yell and cuss her out. But I would say in an even tone voice like the one that I hear from this lady, it sounds good enough for me. And it sounds, it's like on the same pitch of Dr. Welsing, who I have never heard even speak loud. And I've heard her speak a lot of times. And just state exactly what your thoughts are, what your counter race's compensatory logic is to her, and speak directly to it. And that's it. You know, as far as that's concerned, and once again, because white people are not novelists on racism, I'm pretty sure that she would get it. I'm pretty sure she would get the message you would be sending back to her or any white person. I'm talking about a white person as young as 11 years old. They already get it, as far as that's concerned. They're just from the standpoint they don't expect a lot of us to do that because we're under a system of racist white supremacy and it has a effect on us where a lot of us don't do it like we should. But hopefully that's something that can assist in your decision making. Thank you.
Appreciate that, retired firefighter. Any other folks want to respond to Red's question about, you know, how she can respond when, I guess, whites are assuming she's being helpful? They can just come up and ask her questions and encroach on her space, how she can respond.
I'm not sure if this will work, but I think it's worth a try. Just keep telling the people you don't know, even if it's something real simple that, you know, obviously, you know, just, I don't know. I mean, I'll let you know that obviously I don't want to ask your questions and I don't want to deal with you. So that's what I have. I'm in my line.
I just want to say thank you for the responses. It definitely gives me something to think about. Thank you.
Indeed. You can even experiment if it's the things in your personal space. You can, I mean, personal time away from work. You can experiment. In my opinion, you can try out and see what's most comfortable for your personality. If it's the ignoring, which I'm a big advocate of, that's the one where you just plan ignoring regardless of what they say or do. I have nothing to say at all. I'm going about my business. Not even going to break stride if I'm walking. Or I might get up and relocate if I'm seated. I found that one seems to have the least chance of creating a problem. It's generally very difficult for things to escalate if you have someone who's not responding at all. Like, I'd have a difficult time thinking of a situation where I ignored someone. I even do ignoring in yoga. Like, I've been in yoga classes, because sometimes they'll say, speak to your neighbor, and I don't do that at all. I think after that first class where I went with the white instructor and she had nothing to say the entire class and it was two of us total, no, I don't do any of that. Like, I understand exactly what it is, and I wear my please respect me like I am a white person t-shirt every class, wore it this morning. But yeah, I don't do that when they say, you know, speak to the person. In fact, that will be my cue to lie down on my back to make it explicit that I'm not speaking to the person seated next to me. And I've had times where they attempted to speak and I just, you know, whatever. They might consider that to be rude. I do not care. Personal space, I'm not here to chit-chat with the white folks on the mat next to me. Thomas in New York, are you able to get your comment in? Maybe we lost him, might have dropped off. In the meantime, 5136, did you have a commentary you wanted to add?
Renegade, what happened? What happened, Gus? I came in, I just pulled over on the side of the road and got on Facebook and you was on the air. I think I'll wait till Mr. Fox uploaded on his channel and I'll get the whole scoop.
There you go. appreciation to Mr. Fox. Yes, we've been broadcasting for 2 hours now, so you're all a little behind, but it will be in the archives, so no fear. And available iTunes, SoundCloud, Black Talk Radio Network, lots of places where you can get the archives of the broadcast. Again, appreciation, gratitude. Mr. Fox, second time mentioned on the program, Mr. Fox, all the way in the UK, his diligent efforts at uploading the content at YouTube.
And pull up with the white. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Victor.
Pull up and them white girls. Them white girls real scary. You got you pull them to the side somewhere. I specialize in just looking at them crazy. Pull them to the side. White girls are real scary. I remember, I think it was Thomas. He was having a problem. About 3 months ago, somebody was messing with him, and I told him, pull him down one of them corridors and tell him, leave me alone. Give him that little crazy look. But, yeah, that's what, I specialize in doing that. I'm not Mr. Friendly myself, because I don't like nobody walking up on me and whites and non-whites, leave me alone. That's why I thank the Creator. I'm in the truck. I get down the road. I don't want to be bothered with nobody for real. Just leave me be. I spent about a week up there in Tacoma, Gus. I used to pick up apples. Pick up cherries and run it back over on the East Coast. I spent about a week up there in Tacoma. And I noticed that's when I was real confused and everything about racism. And I noticed, it was a lot of white people up there. But can't beat the scenery. It's real nice up there in Washington. But, yeah, Gus, did you have your shirt on?
Of course.
Did it have?
All detailed in the archive. You will be able to enjoy at your leisure. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
It is almost that time of year, cherry season in the great state of Washington. They're renowned for their Rainer cherries and Washington and the Cherry Street, all of the white supremacy fables right here. The cherry blossoms at the University of Washington. I was out this past spring. They had the cherry blossoms. I got to go out when they were at their peak blossom. Like, that is all big news around these parts, the great state of Washington.
What about Sunnyside? You ever been over to Sunnyside?
No, sir.
Oh, okay. Are you going to let me share?
Absolutely. Let's see. Ivy, were you going to comment?
Yes, sir. I meant to add earlier on, I hope that this helps. As far as getting the respect me, like I'm a white person, I think that people can go to facebook.com/TravisLyrics. And his name on Facebook is Travis Keaton. The person who is selling the shirts, and I think that they can get at him directly on Facebook, and they will get to him faster rather than having to, I guess, inconvenience you, Gus. That could at least, possibly help. And so I just kind of wanted to throw that out there because I noticed that he's responding to a lot of people on there. He responded when you posted on your Facebook about the race soldier who wanted to throw his ice cream on you, and a lot of people were responding to Travis and telling him the shirts that they wanted, and I got at him directly and got one as a result of that too. So.
Oh, that's great! That's great. That was supposed to be an experiment, that was supposed to be an experiment. People were supposed to wear it and report back, what happened and what their experience was, which some people did. Not that, that was a total wash, but seems like we should have more product, more of that, more, you know, reports, write something or a video or at least call in to share what happened or email. I guess some people did do that. We sprinkled them in. It just seemed like there should be more of that. So hopefully with the new batch of shirts, that's great. And if Trav can knock it out where I don't have to be inconvenienced, that is awesome because Gus is not in the T-shirt business. Do we get everybody? That is crazy. A white man threatening or looking menacing at me, which he certainly did, as though he wanted to throw ice cream on me, sparks T-shirt sales. That is, man, system of white supremacy. Did we nab everybody? Assume folks are good. Thomas in New York. We will have to get you tomorrow, perhaps, since part two, I reckon people that missed out, you can listen to the archive, right? It'll be uploaded, so you'll be all good to go. And then you can tune in for tomorrow, part two, Anna Brown Griswold, white woman. This is not the white woman who kicked me in class. However, this white woman hosted a six-week seminar workshop series. It was one day a week for, I guess, 90 minutes or so, where whites would talk about white supremacy, racism, use the word white supremacy, looked at photos of lynching, and meditated, thought about, talked about their complicity in all this as individuals classified as white. She hosted the workshop at the same studio where I was traumatized. She will be with us tomorrow to talk about this workshop and what it's supposed to accomplish. Are white people going to stop practicing racism, white supremacy, and the irony of the situation happening at the same exact studio? But she should be here tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Always look forward to talking to white people. Very curious to know what her fee was for all that, because they charged $150 to attend the series. So I'm very curious to what her fee was. Anywho. That's tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. If you have questions, gripes, complaints, email untiljustice@gmail.com. We will post Trav's information, and I'll make sure to just do a mass email of his information so that he can help out everyone who wants a T-shirt. If it's that simple, then, hey, we can do that. Like the next, you know, 10 hours, I'll do that before I hit my second yoga class of the day if he is that eager and Johnny on the spot at getting out the T-shirts. And again, if you get one, report back on how people respond to you having the shirt on. Would be great to, you know, get more feedback to see if it's consistent, because it's been, at least for me in the 6 years that I've had my, has it been six? Yeah, the 6 years that I've had my shirt, it's been consistent regardless of where I've worn it or, you know, at the time, whatever the case. It's been pretty consistent in terms of how whites have responded. In fact, I had it on last week, and I had my dinner. I had finished my yoga classes for the day. I had my dinner, Ethiopian. I love Ethiopian. I was going to get to my residence, and a black male saw that I had the shirt on. He was outside smoking, unfortunately. Sobriety would be best, and certainly no cigarettes. But anyway, he saw the shirt and was like, oh, my gosh, I love your shirt. I love your shirt. It's like, oh, I would have stopped, but I had my dinner, so I was trying to get to the crib. And he's like, oh, man, I love your shirt. That's so great. It's like, oh, thanks, thanks. I appreciate you. It's like, no, I appreciate you. That is so great. It's like, see, that's about what I thought would happen. I've never had any incidents of being mauled, attacked, where I thought I was in danger, anything of the sort. I think the closest, I think a white person looked at it and just kept pointing and saying, what is that? What is that? And then he laughed and walked off, which I just thought the whole thing was bizarre. But at any rate, if you get a shirt, let us know what the result is, what happens when you wear it. That's it. Thanks for everyone who participated. I hope it was a constructive investment of your Tuesday evening, and we will be here tomorrow for part two. That's it. And workplace racism that was mentioned, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, this coming Thursday. That said, sobriety would certainly be best. I don't think my situation would have been any better if I had been intoxicated while all of that went down. I think it probably would have just made it a way more difficult and maybe even increased the likelihood that enforcement officials being called, other whites, who knows, anything. I just can't see any way where being intoxicated would have made that result better for me. That's the way we should be thinking in general. We are under conditions of terrorism. Let's make sure that we can think clearly, make great decisions, because you never know when you might be required to make a life-saving decision in the system of white supremacy. I think you'd rather do that sober. Dr. Welsing certainly would co-sign on that. Certainly, if we're going to be in a vehicle, driver, passenger, we want to be sober and buckled up every time. Let's do everything that we can to minimize contact with race soldiers. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you're so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Shut I'm up. A victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.